Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the 145th Psalm. Psalm 145. And we're going to look at some things here that I believe will be a blessing to us and help us, praise God. You know, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the mechanics of it. What's that mean? Well, we preach that Jesus died on the cross, and He did. And we preach that He was buried, and He was. And we preach that He was raised from the dead, and we make it a story and something we look back to. But really, that's for us today, amen? It's for us to enjoy today. We're to walk in that light of that life today, praise God. So I want you to look in the 8th verse here of Psalm 145. David says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies over all His works." Hallelujah. You know, that's the Lord talking to you and me. That's exactly what this day is all about. It's about God's love and God's compassion and God's grace. Notice here that He said that the Lord is full of compassion. And notice He goes on down here in verse 9 and says, "And His tender mercies are over all of His works." Well, compassion and mercy is God's love being released to us. Amen? Notice He said the Lord is gracious. Hallelujah. You know what the word gracious means? It means disposed to show favors. You know what God's disposition is? He wants to give favor to you. Praise God. God's attitude towards you and me is this. He wants to do something for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. You see, we have to get a hold of something here. A lot of, I think, you know, churches get the wrong idea. I was raised up, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know who said that? Job said that. And he said it at one of the worst points of life, amen? That's one of the most uninspired scriptures in the Bible, and we just want to label God with that all the time. But you know what? God is nothing as much as He is love. Amen? And if you're going to walk with God and talk with God and be with God, then you know what? It's His love is going to win you over. It's not His judgment. It's not being afraid of God or afraid of hell. How many of you found out that just being afraid of hell only works for a while? Amen. You know, see, we come in here and we preach, you know, don't die in your sins, don't go to hell. And that's an absolute truth. You know, we don't want to go to the wrong place when we die, amen? We want to go to heaven. But how many of you found out that just wanting to go to heaven a lot of times isn't enough? Because, you see, we're facing life today. I remember Dr. Cho, you know, who has the largest church here in South Korea. And so they came to him and they said, "What was your success?" He said, "Well, when I came out of seminary, went out and started preaching about getting saved and going to heaven," and he said, "Nobody would come and listen to me." And he said, "Finally," he said, "I went to some of the local people and the farmers and stuff," and he said, "I said, why? Why don't you come and hear me preach?" And they said, "Because you don't have anything relevant to us." And he said, "What do you mean not being relevant to you?" He said, "You know, right now we don't need to worry about whether there's an afterlife. What we got to do is we got crops, we got problems, we got families, we got situations, we got things that we have to deal with, we got hardships we're going through. And, you know, if your God and your religion doesn't have any help for us today, then, you know, he's very, you know, we'll take care of that when we get there." And you know, he said, "I changed my entire approach about preaching the gospel." He said, "I quit preaching about getting saved to go to heaven." He said, "I started preaching about how God loves us right now." Amen. How God wants to work in your life right now. And how God wants to save you and help you and work in you and do blessings in your life. And he said, all of a sudden people began to come because, you see, all of a sudden now God was proving to them that He wanted to be involved in their life right now. How many of you know here's where we have trouble? Here's where we have to deal with sickness and pain and heartache and hurt and betrayal and all the other stuff. Here's where we have to deal with the flesh, amen? And so, you know, the Lord speaks through David and says, the Lord is gracious. That means this, the Lord is disposed to show favor. The Lord's character and the Lord's entire personality is to show favor and to do something good in your life. And then he goes on and he says this, he's full of compassion. The word compassion or mercy here means to love tenderly. You know what God says? God says, I want to love you with a tender love, praise God. I don't want to be a harsh God in heaven. I want to be a father to you. That's why in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that God sent the Spirit of His Son and the Spirit of adoption in our hearts, and we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba is a Greek word. They wouldn't translate it. It's called daddy. Hallelujah. So God was saying, I want to be your daddy, your father. I want you to come into a relationship with me that you can come to me and talk with me. In fact, the Lord Jesus, whenever he's speaking to the disciples, he says to them, there's coming a day where you'll not come to me and talk to me and pray to me. But he says, you go to the Father in my name, and whatever you ask him, he'll give it to you because my Father will love you just like he loves me. Hallelujah. Folks, that's the God's graciousness. That's God's compassion. So God wants to love us tenderly. Also means to pity. What's that mean? That means when nobody else wants to give you a break, God will have pity. In other words, when you make a mistake, you need God's pity. Amen? Huh? That doesn't mean God is, oh, you pitiful thing. No, that means that God says, my heart still breaks to help you, not to hurt you. Amen? So he's full of pity. And to show mercy, God wants to show his mercy. But the one I really like the most is this, to be full of eager yearning. To be full of eager yearning. That's what kind of, in other words, God eagerly yearns to help us. Amen. God eagerly yearns to be in our lives. He eagerly yearns to work with us and to care for us and to be a part of our daily struggles and to help us through life. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't come and say, okay, I'm going to go on the cross. I'm going to die for you, be raised up from the dead for your justification. And when you make me your Lord, you'll never have another problem. You'll never have a hard day. You'll never have another sad day. You'll never have another rainy day. No, in fact, the Lord was quite opposite of that. He said this. He said, if you're wise, you'll take my sayings and work them in your life and build them like a man building a house on a rock, because there's a storm going to come. And there's a foolish man who hears these things and doesn't know them or doesn't let me get involved in your daily life, and that storm's going to come to you too. Amen? In other words, the Lord said, everybody's going to have storms. But he said, if you'll let me be involved in your life and work in your life and be merciful in your life and be gracious in your life, when that storm comes, I'll get you through it, praise God. Because I'm involved in your life, because you're involved in me. And so therefore, we begin to build our lives. And so Christ warns us and he tells us that he'll be gracious. He'll be good to all of his works. Now, you and I are his works, praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God's going to be good to me, amen? Now, look over in 1 John, the 4th chapter. Here in 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John picks up on the Lord's love and mercy, and he begins to speak to us. In fact, you know, John was known as the Apostle of Love. You begin to read the Gospel of John that's written by the same apostle, and he talks about God's love throughout his entire gospel. And then in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he's constantly referring to God's love. Amen? And he's ministering to us about God's love for us. And here in 1st John chapter 4, we began to look down here in verse 9, and he says this, in this the love of God was manifested or presented or made available to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Ooh, glory to God. Notice this. He says God's love was manifested. God's love was demonstrated. God's love came into full fruition before us when he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, into the world. Not that we should be condemned or defeated or destroyed by him, but that we should live through him, that we might have life through him. Amen? You see, you've got to understand something, folks. The reason I'm preaching this on this resurrection morning is this. It is not knowing what God can do for you or even what God has done for you that will motivate you to live for Him. But it is knowing what God eagerly yearns to do in your life right now and what He cares about right now and how He wants to be involved in your life now and how He wants to get you through the storms right now. That's what motivates people to serve God. And that's what causes us to want to turn to God. Amen? I want a Lord that's with me today. Come on, I don't want a historical Lord. I do not want a Lord that lived 2,000 years ago, but it's not relevant to me today. I want Jesus Christ in my life. Amen? I want to celebrate the song that no grave could hold Him back. Hallelujah. I want to celebrate the word that we've already heard today, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, even as He said, praise God, and that He is Lord in my life. Notice he says here that God manifested, God revealed, God demonstrated His love by sending His Son into the world that we might live through Him. Everybody say live. Yes. See, you're not really living until Jesus is in your life. Amen. Jesus came to bring life to us. In John 10:10, Jesus Himself said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that we could live. And here's another thing you've got to get a hold of. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, powerful verse that goes right along with this one. What did John say over there in the Gospels? He said, for God so loved the world. Remember that? Well, how did God love the world? That He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Oh, isn't that good? Jesus Christ came so that we wouldn't perish in our sins, so that we wouldn't perish in a life that's just totally destroyed by the enemy and by the world. But He doesn't stop there. I believe John 3:17 is just as important to read as John 3:16. Because verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Jesus didn't come to condemn you because you messed up. Jesus didn't come to condemn you because you're not doing everything right. Jesus didn't come and condemn you because you was all a mess. No, He came to save you from that mess, praise God. He came to deliver God's compassion to you. God eagerly yearns to bring you out of guilt and condemnation and insecurities and unworthiness and bring you over into a life where God is in your life. And Jesus is Lord of that life. And you're experiencing in the goodness of God in your life. Amen? I don't know about you, but I like God's favor in my life. Amen. And somebody says, well, what is favor? Well, this is my definition of favor. God influencing the outcome. Amen? What do you mean? How many of you know that if God is the one who influences the outcome, we win? Amen? Because He's got the greatest influence. See, whoever has the greatest influence gets the verdict. And so when God says He is gracious, disposed to show favor, that means God is going to influence the situation for my good. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.